Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos is with us. I want to talk about the Farm Bill, and of course you're part of the conference committee. What are the chances of coming up with something before this one expires?
Well, we will go back into session first week of September. I anticipate we'll meet as soon as we're back out in Washington, and we'll have about 30 days to get it done. There are big differences between the Senate bill and the House bill on the nutrition title and on the conservation title. I think those are going to be the two areas where we'll have to pay the closest attention and figure out what's the give and the take on that. Obviously, there's not one of us who live in farm country or anywhere in rural America who will be part of this conference committee who don't understand that the clock is ticking and we've got to get the work done.
Let's talk about SNAP for a little bit here. What do you anticipate will happen in that, given the feelings that are out there?
So just a little background, and you probably already explained this to your listeners, but the Senate bill passed with a vote of 88 to 11. True bipartisan bill, a good bill. The House version, and I'm in the House, but passed off the House floor with zero Democratic votes and only passed with enough Republican votes to barely get out of the House. That bill, and I've been on the Ag Committee since I've been in Congress, I'm now running for my fourth term, it was done entirely behind closed doors with only the Republicans who are in leadership negotiating that. Colin Peterson, the lead Democrat on the House, on the Democratic side of the Ag Committee, has worked on five farm bills in his career. He said he's never seen a process like this. We're delivered this farm bill on a Thursday, expected to vote on it a few days later with no input. And it's not a good bill. So I think here's a couple things worth pointing out on the nutrition part of it. We already have work requirements, and to act like we don't is just misleading to people. The other thing out of the last farm bill, and I was part of negotiating that because I was in the House at that time, we passed pilot programs to look at work requirements and what would work, what would be cost effective, where would we be able to invest and get a return on that investment. And so when we get the reports back on those, and most of those are due here in the next year or so, then we can make more educated decisions on how that looks.
I've talked to some conservative members of the conference who say they find it unfortunate that Democratic colleagues didn't offer anything legislatively. How do you respond to that?
Well, when you're closed out of the entire process with the final version of it, we made a decision that we were going to work with the Senate side of it. They had a good bill. They had Democrats and Republicans sit down all along the way. They did the process that we should have done. And so we made a decision that we're just going to work on the Senate side of it. And those of us who are assigned to the conference know we've got a good starting point over there. Frankly, I think it's a shame. I've always been so proud to say I serve on the Ag Committee, one of the most bipartisan committees in all of Congress. I've always said that. It all fell apart this session, frankly, and we can do better. And I'm talking to you from a perspective of this. There's a list of how bipartisan people in the House are. I'm the sixth most bipartisan Democrat in all of Congress. All right? My friends on the other side of the aisle can work with me. And I think the message is don't shut us out. Include us as part of the negotiations, and that's how we're going to get the country's work done.
You also mentioned conservation. What are the problems there that you anticipate?
Well, just that there are severe differences between what's happening with EQIP and the CSP. What I want out of it is this, that we've got there's cover crops are we've got a good cover crop program, that we have the money that's necessary to make sure that our family farmers who want to have any kind of involvement in the conservation program can be involved with that. Our acreage is slipping away from that. We're going in the wrong direction, in my opinion. And we've got to have incentives. We have to have a reason for our family farmers to want to be part of the conservation program. And so what I want out of the end product is that.
Also big on farmers' minds are the tariffs, the trade issues, the disputes that are going on. What will be the resolution to those?
What's scary about it is that as a member of Congress who represents 711,000 people in a mostly rural and agricultural congressional district, I've had no say-so in it. These have been unilateral decisions that have come out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They start typically with tweets, and then they come with adding tariffs onto, whether it's steel or aluminum or China retaliating on buying soybeans and corn and pork. To the tune of this, this is where we are right now. We've got 2.5 billion pounds of pork and beef and poultry that is in storage right now that we don't have the markets for. We are in fights with our biggest agricultural trading partners of Canada and Mexico and China with really no end game. I remember very, very well when candidate Trump stood behind a podium in Des Moines, Iowa, and said he was going to end the war on the American farmer. And contrary to that, what we've seen is we're in the middle of a trade war. And it's our family farmers who are hurt by this. Hey, we are now, a few weeks off from harvest? And already everybody sees a great big giant hole burned in their wallets if you're a family farmer. And just how is the wallet going to, totally go up in flames? These are people's livelihoods. And I come from a long line of farmers, and I know how hard people work to grow corn and beans and, take care of their livestock. And we need to add some certainty. And right now, there's anything but certainty on what's going to happen with these disagreements and these fights with our biggest agricultural trading partners.
I have talked to some farmers who are willing to support the president in this regard and say that China is the one who we should stop pushing us around. What do you say to that, and how can we approach that?
Well, it's a well-known fact that China steals our intellectual property. That is a problem. How I would choose to approach that is to join with our friends in the European Union, join with our friends who also are seeing their intellectual property stolen as a course of business and how China partners with countries. Trade is not meant to be done alone. You got to work with your friends on this. And so that's, in my opinion, how we should have dealt with China. That was the biggest problem, was the theft of intellectual property. And I come from Moline, Illinois, the world headquarters of John Deere, where everything that's touched in that factory has something to do with steel, and the end user has something to do with agriculture. So it is one of our largest employers where I live. It is a tremendous community partner. I mean, I can't tell you how much John Deere has done for our region, and I don't want to see them hurt. But there are ways that we could have come together with our friends to deal with this issue, and the president has not chosen to do that. Maybe another couple points. About 3 out of every 4 farmers voted for President Trump. And I think when you put your faith in someone, you want to give that person some time to get things right. And I think many of the farmers I talk to are still willing to give the president time to get this right. But my only other thought on that is the time is ticking, and harvest is right around the corner, and we don't have a whole lot of time to get this right. We are just coming off news that China said that American farmers may have lost this market for good because Argentina and Brazil are right there ready to pick up the slack. And that concerns me a great deal. We can't afford to lose the largest populated country in the world as a trading partner. We've got to look for new markets, not constrict what we have.
Much appreciated. I'd like to photograph.